The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Christians live by promises. And one of the most beautiful of those promises is the one with which John 14, this morning's scripture lesson, begins. In my Father's house are many rooms. I am going to prepare a place for you. How many times have these words brought peace and comfort to the sick and the dying? How many mourners have grabbed hold of them in the midst of their pain and their sadness? How many of us have rejoiced in the good news that they bring? But what actually are they? Well, just a promise, just words. And that's really what Christianity is. Lots of words, lots of promises. They begin with words in a book, the Bible. And in this book, there are lots of words, lots of statements, lots of information. Some of it's in the form of commands. Some of it is history. Some of it is eloquent poetry. Some of it just genealogy. But what's really important to us, for you, for me, are the words of promise that give us the best that God can give. Promises of life and forgiveness and salvation. These are words that assure us of eternal blessings, things that go on forever, that tell us that when our life here is done, there is still a life there in God's love that lasts and lasts and lasts. Now, that's a promise. Those are words by which we live. But of course, human existence is filled with words and promises, but all promises are not the same. There's an old Broadway musical by the name of Promises, Promises, the title song of which makes it very clear that promises can be masks of deception, pointless words, empty phrases that lead to disappointment, frustration, maybe even despair, and sometimes even death. Just listen to these lyrics. Oh, promises, their kind of promises can destroy a life. Oh, promises, those kind of promises take all the joy from life. Promises, promises, I'm all through with promises, promises now. So all promises are not created equal. And the question I'd like to consider this morning with you for just a few minutes is, how do we know? How do we know what kind of promises we're dealing with in Christianity? Words that deliver what they say, or words that constitute just another deception, a deception that condemns those who trust in them to ultimate and final despair? How do we know? Well, one possible approach to the question could be by just measuring the effects of the promises on those who hear them. And as I suggested at the outset of my remarks this morning, words like the ones in our text do have powerful and comforting effects in our present lives. The promises of the gospel change our present reality. For example, in the face of death, Jesus promises everlasting life and resurrection. And when we believe these words, well, we survive today's bereavement because we're sure that something better is coming. And so too, when we hear the words, your sin is forgiven. Well, this promise gives us calm, takes away our guilt, quiets our conscience. It permits us to sleep at night. And then to work on the morrow in calm confidence that we are doing so under the love of God rather than his wrath and anger. So the promises of God, although they always point us to the future, they do affect us right now, and they free us for lives of hope and self-giving. But such present effects cannot be the basis upon which we rest our hope in these promises, because present effects are always incomplete, always imperfect. On the one hand, sure, I believe the promise that says I am forgiven. I believe that. But on the other hand, I continue to see my sins, and I continue to experience the bad things that follow, the broken relationships, the habits of self-destruction, all of those things. And so too, God promises life in the face of death, and I hold on to that. But there is still real emptiness when a loved one dies that time never really fills up. And even though I know and I believe what Jesus says about the many rooms, well, my heart still trembles at the prospects of my own demise. So the present effects, and they are real and ought never to be minimized, are not a sufficient foundation for the truth of the promises upon which we depend. Nor do the scriptures ever say that they should be. No, not at all. God offers a more sure foundation than anything that takes place in us, a foundation instead that is absolutely unmovable, absolutely unshakable as the basis for all of his words, for all of his promises. And that is himself. Just listen again to what Jesus says in the very first words of our text. Let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled, but why not? In a sin-filled, sin-cursed, sin-degraded world, why not let your hearts be troubled? Jesus answers, believe in God, believe also in me. It's that simple and that profound. Jesus is the foundation of all of our hopes. Jesus is the guarantee of all God's promises. Now, this morning, if you look at the church calendar, we are commemorating the first ecumenical council. We're commemorating the Council of Nicaea, out of which came the earliest version of the Nicene Creed. And as you know, what was so important about that council and that creed was the boldness and the clarity with which they confessed the full deity of Jesus, God of God, light of light, very God of very God. Now, why was that so important? What difference does it make if we accept Jesus as one with the Father, or is something other, something less? Well, it's precisely because of what we're talking about this morning. Jesus is the foundation of the promises upon which we depend. A firm foundation means a steadfast promise. A weak foundation means uncertainty and deception. So it makes all the difference in the world whether the one who promises is God or something else, whether the one who died and rose again for forgiveness and resurrection is God or something else. And finally, whether the one who offers himself as the only way, the only truth, and the only life is God or something else. We need a Savior who can deliver, someone who can follow through on what he says, someone for whom a promise is also an accomplishment. So yes, indeed, it matters. It matters very much. It matters Because Christians live by promises. And whose promises? The promises of Jesus. And who is Jesus? Jesus is our God. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.